to yet another edition of the Getting to Know You podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Bradley. Today I'm joined by Mr. Luke Rosenthal. Luke, how are you today?
Doing great. It's a little cold outside. It is. It's getting to feel like winter here in Oswego. No snow, yeah. But a lot of rain.
And the wind. As of the time recording this morning, was unreal.
It was. I took a video, sent it to my friend on Snapchat earlier. They couldn't hear a thing I said because I was outside, and it's tough.
Awful, man. Real tough. Oh, my God. I almost knocked me over. I'm a sturdy guy, but almost ate some dirt there on that one this morning. It was terrible. I was
tripped up.
Awful.
Got taken in the wind.
Oh, the cold is one thing, but I always get so angry at the wind. I don't know why.
It's the worst. It's awful. It's hard opening up your car door and it's slamming back in your face.
It's terrible, man. But no, Luke, obviously pleasure to have you on here. But for those listeners that might not know you, why don't you just kind of give a little synopsis of who you are to our new listeners?
Yeah, my name's Luke Rosenthal. I'm a senior journalism major with a sports minor here at Oswego in my last year. One more semester left, so it's getting to that point where it's a little scary, a little spooky getting into the real world. But yeah, I've been part of WTOP for almost 4 years now. Wow. That was a lie. It started in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't do math. It started in 2020. Right before the pandemic hit. So I really enjoy this club, NYO as well. It's two great organizations. Met a lot of great people here, made a lot of great friendships, and just happy to be on this podcast. Thank you for having me on.
Of course, Luke. So we'll start off, but we'll get into all the college stuff in a minute. Let's kind of talk about growing up. Where are you from?
So I'm from a small town called Wallkill, New York.
Okay.
I usually, when anybody asks me, I always say I'm from New Paltz because that's a little bit well-known, and they're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. But I'm from a small town, Wallkill. We had about like 300 or so students in my graduating class.
Okay.
It's about 4 hours down south, an hour above the city. Nobody ever knows where it is.
Hold on, go ahead. Yeah, I'll let you
finish. I just give them directions like that. Like, we're an hour above the city, like 4 hours away from Oswego.
Okay. Four hours. Wow. Yeah. So that's quite a drive.
Oh, yeah. I've had to make a couple of those past week or so going back and home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. So you graduated with 300 people?
Yeah.
Okay. That's funny because you said small, right? Mm-hmm. When I interviewed Sam yesterday at time of recording, and she said she graduated with 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, so I guess I don't know what small.
300 is a good number.
That's a very good number. Pretty crazy.
No, but so 300 kids. Mm-hmm. So what was kind of like the schooling like? Were you like I went to a relatively bigger school. I graduated with about 500.
Yeah.
So we would start off in elementary school, and then when we moved to middle school, there'd be other schools that would funnel in. So like, was that kind of how things were for you guys?
Yeah.
As well?
So we had in Wallkill, there were three elementary schools. I went to Leptondale Elementary School. And then there was one middle school. We only did 7th and 8th grade in our middle school, which I know a lot of schools include like 6th grade and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's how we were too.
Yeah, so we went to one middle school. All three of the elementary schools went there, and then one high school. There's a way bigger building, and so.
Okay. So, run me through some of the relationships you made over the time. Let's just start by talking about a little bit of family. Yeah. You got any brothers, any sisters, anything like that?
Yeah, so I have three sisters. And,
oh, wow.
No brothers. I'm the only boy. It's funny that you asked that because last week, all of their birthdays are within the same week. It's the 14th of November, 15th of November, and 23rd of November.
Oh my God.
And it's right before Christmas. So you can't really mix their Christmas and birthday presents in with one another. You have to kind of double down and go back and forth. So the past month has been tough on my bank account for their birthday presents, to say the least.
I'm sure. Are they older?
Yeah, so I have one older sister. She just turned 35.
Okay.
And I have a little nephew, too. She has a son, Brayden. He's a great kid. Love that guy.
Yeah.
And then I have two little sisters. They just turned 17 and 13.
Okay.
So it's kind of crazy because whenever I go back and see them, a lot of time has passed. So especially being in college, you don't really get to see them grow up, and you're kind of surprised that, like, oh, my gosh, you're 17, you're 13 now. So
wow.
Yeah.
So, quite the thing that jumps off the page to me there, the age difference. So 35. So she was what's the age? 14 when you were born?
13. 13. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to kind of touch upon that relationship with you having that older sister around that was that much older than you. Mm-hmm. So what was she mean to you? What was the
deal? Absolutely not. No.
Really?
My older sister Daniela, she's like a second mom in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Because her and I have such a close bond. She's like everything to me and my family, as well as like my mom and my nephew and everybody in between.
Mm-hmm.
But our relationship is great. We talk to each other about everything. She came back home. She moved out for a little bit. COVID hit. She came back in. Mm-hmm. So she's back at the household. And it's gonna be tough to see them go because she has my nephew too.
Yeah.
And when that day hits, it's gonna be a little sad.
Yeah. Oh, I feel you, man. So obviously a great relationship. So you kind of look to her as almost like a role model. Like
exactly. Yeah. Okay. She's taught me a lot over the years. I take a lot of, I guess, my personality traits and things I like from her. So yeah, she kind of, you know, helped raise me in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that obviously that where we know each other is through the sports department here.
Sure.
At WTOP 10. Is sports a big thing in your family? Like how did sports wind up being something that you were so into?
So it's really, I wouldn't say it's big in my family. My uncle played football at Ithaca.
Okay.
And he was really the only, I guess, above my generation, like my mom, my aunts, and my uncle. He was really the only one that was involved in sports, and that sort of trickled down to, you know, some of my cousins. But for me, it started with football. I really just took a liking to football.
Okay.
I watched a Super Bowl one year, and I was just hooked from there on out. Football is my number one thing. I have a podcast about football. I love talking about it. I love watching it. Then that grew into basketball, and then that grew into playing football and playing lacrosse and everything in between. So yeah, sports are big, and I've sort of made sports a bigger thing in my family than it was before. So they're kind of taken after me. In that
okay.
way. Yeah.
I love it. So it's kind of like, you know, that almost like an independent thing that you've enjoyed.
Exactly. And they're all so supportive. WTOP broadcasts, everything we do with hockey or any other broadcast that we do. Super supportive.
That's awesome.
My future, my career. So yeah.
That's crazy. So you did you play a little bit of sports as well?
Yeah. So I played football, started out in 7th grade. I actually broke my spine.
Really?
Yeah, that was a rough recovery. I was in a full body brace. It was like hard plastic, went down my leg.
Oh my God.
Recovery was about like 9 months. I don't really remember much of it.
Wow. How old were you?
I was 13. Yeah, so I came back next year, played football, had a great season. That was in 8th grade that I came back. And then I played freshman year, got a concussion. And my mom was like, all right, that's it. no more football.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when I transitioned to lacrosse.
Okay.
Started that in 8th grade, actually, and then played all 4 years of high school. Came 2nd place in the Section 9 finals, which I'll never live that down. That was a tough loss. But yeah.
Wow. So talk to me about some of those bonds that you made on those teams. You know, growing up in a household very much filled with girls,
mm-hmm.
going out and playing sports with guys, what was that like for you, the difference?
It's kind of what I needed, right?
Yeah.
I needed to just get out of the house and, you know, have, you know, guy time, so to speak. But yeah, I through lacrosse, I developed, you know, a bunch of relationships.
Right.
I actually came up to school, came up to Oswego with 5 other people from my school.
Okay.
From my high school. We all sort of, you know, lived together in Scales, and I lived together in Onondaga in the village, and they played lacrosse with me. So they're my best friends, and I feel like lacrosse just taught me a lot, just, you know, about discipline and, you know, striving for greatness, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, definitely some character traits taken from that. Lacrosse, great sport. Love me some lacrosse.
I was a baseball guy, so okay. I never got to get into lacrosse, but I know because, you know, being from Central New York, lacrosse is huge in Central New York, and my dad always had in my room, I think it's still there. There's a picture that my dad had that he made or must have gotten made,
mm-hmm.
like when I was either really young. I might not even been born at this point. And it's me with a lacrosse stick, like a caricature,
yeah.
scoring. And it was like the score is like Syracuse 13 and then like Cornell 0 or something.
That never ended up coming up.
Never played a second of lacrosse in my life. So he had some aspirations. He always tells me every once in a while about how, like, you know, he had a friend that was a coach, and he was like, I'll send him to these.
Did
never,
he play lacrosse?
My dad didn't. He played baseball. But he always just thought because he's in Central New York, this is the way to get seen, and this is the way to potentially get, like, a scholarship or something like
Absolutely.
That. So never played lacrosse.
I played a little bit of baseball when I was a youngin', like,
okay.
you know, T-ball, and I think I was on, like, the Oakland Athletics for our little
there
league
you go.
That we were on. So yeah, that was I don't remember any of that. My mom always tells me that I was not a good baseball player, that I would just, you know, make fun of not like other people, but I would make fun of like the sport itself.
Yeah.
In a way, like I would just be dancing on bases and I wouldn't care much about like what was
actually
going on.
They're like little trampolines.
Yeah, exactly.
No, man. But yeah, so lacrosse, you picked that up and then kind of ran with that, right?
Oh, absolutely. I started in 8th grade. I played every single position there was.
Okay.
I started off as a midfielder. That was when I was a lot quicker than I am right now. I was going up and down the field. That was only year one, so I wasn't that good. Move on to JV. I become an attackman. Mm-hmm. Bunch of injuries in between. I remember one time, I think it was sophomore year, I took a lacrosse shot right in the spot, like on my clavicle, like right on my collarbone.
Ooh.
The only part of like myself that was not like padded or covered up by anything. Huh. Took a shot that was might have been the worst pain like I've ever
really
felt. It was bad.
Oh my god.
I remember I was in the it was in the bus ride home. I was just by myself. I was mad and I was like not crying, but I was like really upset.
Yeah, no,
it just happened because I couldn't really move all too well. Everything hurt. Couldn't like cough or breathe.
Oh my god. Bad. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned the injuries and stuff, you know, the big one with the spine.
Yeah.
A lot of recovery time then.
Yeah, there was and there's like, I had a leg injury one time too. That was freshman year of lacrosse.
Okay.
They're just like injury prone in a way. That's kind of, you know, I'd like to say that it took me away from playing college sports, but there was no shot I was ever going to be on a, on a college team. You know, maybe I would have if I didn't.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, a lot of recovery time. Which not too fun, but yeah, either way, I was not going to stop. Like I think that's something that football and lacrosse taught me is, you know, coming back from injuries, coming back from, you know, large deficits or when times are down or looking bad, you know, you want to rise against that in a way. So,
absolutely. Like persevere almost.
Exactly, exactly.
So are you part of the club of us ex-athletes turned broadcasters? Where you realize at a young age, I'm not going to be able to go pro in this, so I might as well talk about this instead.
Exactly. Exactly. Verbatim, word for word. Yeah, you said it all. I mean, I grew a fascination with sports broadcasting. I want to say midway through high school, I would watch ESPN First Take and Study Hall, and I was like, oh, man, these guys, you know, really know what they're talking about. I enjoy listening to them. And then it just grew on from there. And that's I knew I wanted to do something in sports. If I wasn't going to be able to play sports, I knew I wanted to be part of it somehow, and that's, you know, what a lot of broadcasters in the sports world, you know, that's what really drives them to even, you know, do what they do.
Absolutely. Were you the, like, was it when you came up to TOP that you were like, okay, now I'm going to start it, or did you have your own stuff going on before? Like, what, run me through kind of the birth of the podcast that you do independently.
Yeah, so I have a podcast called The NFLas. It's a play on word, like NFL,
yeah,
fellas, things like that. That started in, well, actually, let me backtrack. So WTOP started February of 2020, right before COVID hit.
Okay.
I got in. I was going to be a sports reporter and a sports writer on the website. And then COVID hit. Everything kind of went down, went bad. So I didn't really, right. wasn't really involved my first year. Wasn't really involved at all until last year, actually, because, you know, so much happened. But
yeah.
It was April of 2020 when I started doing just videos on TikTok, you know, giving my sports thoughts, my takes on football,
yeah,
things like that, just because I was bored and I was upset at the Packers draft. Big Green Bay Packers fan, by the way.
Yeah.
I was upset at their draft that year and I just needed an outlet. So I sort of grew a following on TikTok a little bit. And then from there, you know, I got more involved in WTOP and more involved in podcasting and things like that. So everything sports, I love talking about it. I love watching it, like I said earlier. Yeah.
So are these guys on the podcast, they're from your hometown, I'm assuming?
So I actually, we had a podcast. We started a podcast, me and two other guys that I met on TikTok, right?
Okay.
Their names are Jake and Gage. Really nice guys. We started a podcast called Totally Unqualified.
Mm-hmm.
We started that a little bit more than like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Around. Gage wanted to move on, wanted to do other things. Gage is a great guy. Don't blame him at all for that. So we needed... Jake and I, we needed to, you know, transition, and we started the NFLas just a few months ago, like 3 months ago, I want to say. Yeah, Lily Clark made our logo, so
very
thankful
awesome.
For Lily. It's a great logo. I could have never have done that. But yeah, we started the NFLas, but we also have, you know, aspirations of maybe making like a media conglomerate of sort of like a Barstool Sports. I don't think we'll ever reach the level of Barstool Sports, but we want to have different podcasts for different things and different people talking about different things. So
yeah.
We have another podcast, College Football, called Big Ten Bias. And we want to branch out. Like I love WWE.
Right.
So I want to talk WWE, maybe make a podcast about that.
Oh, that's
basketball
awesome.
As well. So yeah.
I know they've since gone under, but were you a fan of like the Lumberland account?
I was.
Yeah.
I was. I loved what they did. Social media is just so crazy because you can gain a following, gain virality out of just anything, simple things. And it had like a The Office sort of vibe
it did,
to it,
yeah.
Where it was like real stuff. And they were just, you know, guys in an office in a way.
Yeah.
And I feel like beauty and like, maybe not beauty, but like just little things like that. In I don't I don't know how to say, just like normal environments in a way.
Yeah.
You can find like a lot of good stuff in those. So.
No, I've been trying to do it with the TV station for the last few months now. I was like, you know what? Those Lumberland dudes, they're onto something.
We can do something like that. I really think we have the personalities in here.
Oh my God.
So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I've been talking to Melinda about it. So stay tuned because we do have the TikTok account and it is doing really well so far. But
that's great news.
Might have some stuff.
Great news.
Absolutely. But so let's kind of talk about, you know, we talked about joining WTOP and stuff. Let's go back a little bit.
Yeah.
And that decision to go to college, was it always, we're coming here? Like, or did you have other aspirations? I know you said you had an uncle that went to Ithaca, and they're huge in broadcasting as well.
So I wanted to go to the University of Wisconsin. That was my dream. I think Professor Gilligan went to University of Wisconsin. I have a good relationship with her because Wisconsin people. So that never ended up happening because out-of-state tuition is just crazy. I would have never been able to do that. But I got accepted to the University of Tampa. And I was thinking about going there because the people that pitched that to me, we had some like event in our high school where like different colleges would come and, you know, try and pitch them to you. And the University of Tampa sounded great. I ended up getting accepted there after I had already committed to Oswego. like I said earlier, I was coming up with a bunch of my friends.
Yeah.
And we're all brothers, so I wasn't really gonna leave them.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna bail. Which I think kind of crippled me in a way coming up to college with a bunch of friends because I didn't really feel the need to branch out really until, you know, they're graduated now. So I didn't really feel need to branch out till like maybe last year because I felt like, you know, comfortable with them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So in a way it's a good and bad thing that I did that.
Right.
But if I could go back, I don't know because WTOP is a great organization. It's taught me a lot of things, taught me to be a better broadcaster, better journalist, everything in between.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I would have changed my mind and gone to the University of Tampa. My life would have been crazy different though. Absolutely.
You know, just alone, like you mentioned how, you know, the outlet for you to start everything on your own social media brand was because you really almost got robbed of a semester here, you know, given the tease of you're going to be doing this and then within a month it's over.
Exactly. That was tough, especially now that it's sort of, I mean, I have another semester left, but now it's, you could see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
It puts into perspective, like, wow, I did lose a lot of time, lost that college experience. I will say I lucked out because you were the class of 2020, correct?
Yeah, right.
So you didn't really get to enjoy like the half second
of
your senior year,
yeah.
which I couldn't even imagine. I got out of high school right before pandemic in 2019. And I would not trade those memories from, you know, my last few months of senior year in high school for anything.
Yeah.
Because that was really, I guess up to this point, like, it was a crazy time period. I absolutely loved everything. Me and my friends went to New York City and, you know, had so many experiences.
Wow, okay.
Senior prom and everything, senior day in lacrosse. So I wouldn't trade that for anything. And I'm really upset that you didn't get to really indulge in the last few months of senior year. But
I will tell you this, Luke, we got a, because they all felt bad for us. I got a lot of really nice dry fit t-shirts with the Liverpool logo on it. So I'll take it. It was okay.
So now your wardrobe is just all
That's right. Yeah. I got a bunch of gym shirts now. It's all good. So
yeah.
It was a perfect. And graduation was like 15 minutes. So it was fine.
Did you have one of them where like the drive through ones?
Yeah. Or? So what we did was we went down to the football stadium and they set up like a podium and you break off in the alphabet and it'd be like, okay, at this time A through like D shows up and you'd go there. And everybody would be waiting in line. You were allowed like a few parents and then like maybe a grandparent or two.
Okay.
And you'd go in and they give you like a name, like you go check in and then you get your name. And then you go wait in line and then you go up to the line, you hand it to the speaker and they'd say your name. You take the diploma, you walk, they'll give you like a little rose thing and then you take a picture, then a place where you take a picture with your family and you were done.
That's so disappointing. Obviously,
yeah.
Hey. What was at hand was you couldn't, you know, expect anything like that to happen with COVID, but that's upsetting. I gotta be honest because I don't know, I just couldn't imagine that.
I mean, you know, it was unique, I will say. Like, it certainly wasn't ideal, but you know, at the time, you know, I was fortunate enough at a school that had a junior prom, so I'd already kind of been to a prom. Granted, I didn't go to the senior one, but still, like, whatever. Baseball, I you know, didn't get the senior year of that, which was a little bit disappointing, but they found alternate ways for us to still experience some stuff while it's still being in the middle of a pandemic. So it was unique, but at the same time, you know, it was certainly like, you know, it was a little disappointing, I will admit.
Yeah, I could only imagine because like, I mean, it was definitely different in college, you know, getting that experience taken away from me, but I really couldn't imagine like senior year of high school when you're with all of your friends back at home and it's really your last time mm-hmm. being with each other, so to speak. So
yeah, that part was difficult because, you know, especially because it was such an uncertain time, like a lot of my friends' parents, including my own, were very, you know, weary about potentially being sick. And I have a couple friends who were immunocompromised. Yeah. So it was like, it's hard to see them. Like, so that was certainly difficult. And then the biggest thing, and we won't really get super into it because this is your podcast, not mine, but was coming here in the mm-hmm. in the freshman year. And that was the first time where I really felt like I had been affected by COVID.
Yeah. Because
there was nothing to do. And I didn't have friends up here. Mm. So it was like, I'm thrown into that world where there's nothing going on and I'm by myself to do it.
Yeah.
So that part was a little bit difficult.
Yeah. I will say, cause I, so when it was fall of 2020, when, you know, COVID was still a thing, but they wanted to resume college and mm-hmm. so many regulations and everything, I moved into Onondaga with some of my buddies. I actually had to go back home. So, my mom was a big, she was really worried about COVID, obviously, as everybody should have been. And one of my roommates, it was a new roommate. His name was Kevin. I had only met him that year. He ended up getting COVID. My mom sort of freaked out, and she made me come home for 2 weeks for the period. And she never let me come back for the rest of the semester.
Oh, wow.
So I was at home for that remaining semester, which really stunk because, you know, like, I couldn't really do anything in WTOP. I was doing like social media video, like news videos, sports videos and stuff for them on their mm-hmm. Twitter. It just wasn't the same as it is now post COVID. So that kind of stunk, but I ended up coming back the next semester and everything ended up being all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was such a wild and crazy time that, I'm glad it's over. Hopefully, fingers crossed,
Knock on wood.
But so we talked a lot about that and then, you know, coming here and being a part of WTOP. The one thing I want to touch upon that you mentioned briefly was, you know, you came up with a group of friends mm-hmm. and they had left. Mm-hmm. So how was that adjustment period for you knowing, okay, it's kind of like we're at a fresh restart now?
Yeah. It sort of felt like a new freshman year almost, like going to a new college. So they ended up graduating last semester, but they were student teachers.
Okay.
So they had left for that whole semester. So really last year, last fall, 2021, was their last semester, and it was their last day there in the village was definitely a little depressing because I felt like because those are my best friends in the world.
Yeah.
So seeing them leave, it was definitely sort of hard for me because, you know, that's all I had known coming to college was them and, you know, our relationship that we had. So it definitely was a weird transition for me, but it was something that I needed to sort of branch out and, you know, introduce myself to new people and meet new people and, you know, make new friends and things like that. So it's definitely something I needed just, you know, social wise, personality wise, like something that's going to benefit me, I think, in the future is having branched out away from them.
Okay. Yeah. So, and those are friends from home.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So you still see him?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I just saw him like the other week.
There you go. I understand that. Like it must be difficult to kind of go, okay, now what? Like, you know, you sit there and you think like, I mean, I look into my future and I know Garrett's graduating a semester before me.
Yeah.
And like Garrett's up in my room almost every night. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like, there's going to be a day where this isn't going to be a thing anymore.
Exactly.
And I'll be like, well, now what? So it is daunting, man. But to see that, you know, you talk about like perseverance and everything through like injuries and to see that it's almost in a way the same thing.
Yeah.
It's what do I do next? Where's my next step going?
Yeah, coming against the odds. And I didn't know that about Gary. I didn't know that he was graduating.
Yeah, he's graduating. Early. That's true. I don't even want to talk about
that. Yeah.
No, not yet. But
yeah.
No, he's crazy, man. I love Garrett. But Luke, I mean, you know, this has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, though, I do want to know about the quiz we had you take. This is the third one of these that I'm filming in the last day and a half, so I think I have this.
A lot of work.
I think I have this speech memorized by now. If you want to take this one at home, feel free. It's viacharacter.org. You take the free quiz. It takes about 15 minutes, 96 questions. At the end of the quiz, it'll give you a list of strengths. Today, we're going to talk to Luke about his top five strengths. So, Luke, without further ado, what was your fifth?
So, my fifth was fairness.
Okay.
Treating all people the same according to notions of fairness and justice, not letting feelings bias decisions or yeah, not letting feelings bias decisions about others, giving everybody a fair chance. I would agree with that. Agree with that. And I feel like a lot of these strengths I could attribute to WTOP and sort of guiding people the right way, especially being now like a senior.
Right.
And, you know, people sort of looking up to me in a way as I looked up to, you know, Brian Rudman, Michael Gross, and everybody last year. Yeah, giving people a fair shot absolutely is something that I'm, you know, sort of, I want to become a more fair person. And I would agree with that. I would definitely agree.
I would agree with that too. Just from working with you the last year, you're a very fair guy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. What's your fourth?
Fourth is creativity. Thinking of novel and productive ways to conceptualize and do things includes artistic achievement, but is not limited to it. I would agree with that one as well. I mean, it is my test, so I'd hope to agree with a lot of them. I would agree with that, especially with TikTok and having to create videos and having to always be, you know, coming up with new ideas and new concepts for videos. I've definitely become a more creative person since the pandemic started.
Right.
Sort of grown into my own in that way.
So before you move on to your third, I kind of want to touch upon just the TikTok for a minute. You know, so you said you joined around like April 2020 was kind of. So TikTok was kind of expanding at that point. Like I remember like the old days of TikTok before the pandemic, where it was just kind of everybody danced and had fun.
Exactly.
Whereas like it kind of grew into like this much bigger thing.
Yeah.
So when you were starting that, and because you have quite a following now, what was it that you did that separated you from potentially any, because you know, talking about sports is not a very, it's a very common thing on TikTok. So what do you think separated you and your brand from everything else, and why you might have attributed that success to?
I think I just got really lucky, to be quite honest with you, because I had started just making simple videos, like not even putting like my voice on them or anything, just short little videos that people would enjoy watching if they enjoy football or sports or whatever. It took one video, I think like the third or so week that I had started TikTok, where it blew up and had 2 million views. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And that's like, that's why social media is such a crazy thing, is because virality like that can, you know, burst a career, burst a passion or anything like that. So it sort of took that. And then the Atlanta Falcons commented on my video, and I screenshotted that, hung it up. So that was my first sort of big break in a way. And that led to a lot of other opportunities. I worked with Overtime Sports for a little bit.
Okay.
As a social media content creator, and led me into my podcast, led me to a lot of people that that I can call friends on the social media world. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. I didn't know. I was always curious as to how you got that, because I we were talking about it the other day. Every once in a while, especially after like a 30, or especially after a Packers game, I'll see you on TikTok Live.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually if I ever see anybody on TikTok, Instagram Live, whatever, usually I'll be able to throw a little thing in there, and, you know, they're real quick, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
With you, it's like I'm fighting with a bunch of people and the chat's going crazy. So, like I think I was in there for probably about 5 minutes going, Luke Rosenthal, it's Jake Bradley from school.
If I ever see anybody that I know, I will always say what's up to them.
And it was great because you're going on, you're like, oh, yeah, Christian Watson, I don't know, he might be a bust. Hey, Jake Bradley, how's it going? And I was like, dude, the popping got out of me, man. It was great. But
I had to give you a little shout out.
Oh, it was awesome. What was your third?
My third was forgiveness. Forgiving those who have done wrong, accepting other shortcomings, giving people a second chance, not being vengeful. I'm all about second chances. I'm all about people being able to redeem themselves in a way, if they did you wrong, or if they did something wrong, or something along those lines. I like to think I'm a very forgiving person in that way. I mean, not to get like dark or anything, but there's been some, you know, times where, you know, some people did me wrong, done things that I didn't like. And I've been able to see past that and see, you know, they've become a better person because of that. And I'm sure I've done things in the past as well.
Right.
That people, you know, I would hope that people would forgive me for things like that.
Yeah.
So I think forgiveness is a big one, not just for me, but for everybody, obviously. Yeah.
No, I agree with that. You know, there's certainly a lot of people, and I always say, especially in this industry, you know, where HR is my role, and I've got to patrol that, you know, it can get upsetting sometimes, because this is, everything moves so quickly in broadcasting, and especially when we're live, that, you know, a lot of heat of the moment things happen, and a lot of people might say some things in the heat of the moment that maybe they didn't agree with, or maybe they didn't mean. So it's really hard to, you know, have to, when people get upset about that, it's hard to try to explain and be like, listen, heat of the moment, this is what happened. But, you know, granted, you know, these people, you've been around these people, you understand, like, hey,
Exactly.
Got to give these person a second chance. Just, you know, just because they said one thing that might have been a little stupid doesn't necessarily mean that they're in the wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I think, you know, just from previous broadcasts, like when I was, you know, junior and up and coming, I would see some things like that where heat of the moment stuff, someone says one thing, they need, you know, because everybody wants to be perfectionist. You want the broadcast to go as smooth and seamlessly as possible.
Right.
So things like that are going to happen. And I try, I want to learn from that in a way. I want to take that and sort of be not better than the last person like before me, but, you know, improve.
Build on
what
they've built.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, I agree with that 100%. What was your second?
Second is teamwork.
Okay.
Working well as a member of a group or team, being loyal to the group, doing one's share. Absolutely. And that's every one of these, you know, circles back to WTOP and what I've learned here.
Yeah.
Teamwork is big. Everybody, to put on a great broadcast, it takes everybody. Everybody, you know, you want everybody to do their best. You want everybody in a great role. You want everybody to be in a position where they can succeed.
Yeah.
And being, it goes beyond that. If you have good relationships with everybody, you know, you're not going to have those heat of the moment things where people can scoff at you if you do something wrong.
Right.
And, yeah, it's a collective effort here. TOP, definitely. Yeah.
And I think teamwork just outside of, just in life, like, you know, you think of how, you know, family works and how friendships work. Everything's a team when you break it down. You
exactly.
know, you have to be able to give a little to get a little, and that goes with everything. So I just think, you know, knowing that, you know, you've got a relatively larger family, you know, with the three sisters and everything. Sure, at times it can be a little hard,
100%,
but you know, you give a little, you get a little, and you know, at the end of the day, teamwork's what makes the dream work.
Absolutely. Yeah. You said it best. I can't get better than that.
And what's your top strike?
Top one is humor.
Really?
Liking to
laugh
and tease, bringing smiles to other people, seeing the light side, making, not necessarily telling jokes. I like to think of myself as a funny guy. I like to ease tension with, you know, sort of humor, maybe not take everything so seriously. There's definitely moments where you need to be serious. You need to take things seriously. But I like to see, you know, the brighter side of things and sort of inject a little bit of humor into my personality and how I talk to people and conversations that I have.
Yeah.
When I saw this earlier, because I took the quiz this morning, I thought of in high school, I campaigned. I feel so stupid to say this. I campaigned because, you know, those superlatives that they put in the yearbook.
Yeah,
it's like most likely to be famous.
Absolutely,
things like that.
Yeah.
I was campaigning my class to vote me for class clown. I don't know why, because it doesn't really mean much to me now.
You're
my
right.
friends will definitely stick it to me. They'll be like, oh, you came, because I came in second place in the voting to my good friend Darius, which he's one of the funniest people I know.
Yeah.
They'll always, you know, they'll never let me hold that down. I don't really hold a grudge over it. I definitely did when I was 18, right coming out of high school. I was a little bit upset. I would like to think of myself as a generally funny person and a type of person that, like, you know, eases the tension in the room and things like that.
And you can, I think it's even funnier. There's even more comedic value in the fact that you didn't win it.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? So it adds to the humor.
Like, it's probably because I was snarky and I was a little, you know, a-hole. Like, I was just I want everybody to vote for me. But yeah, I've seen past that. I'm not that egotistical anymore, I'd say.
No, I know we, all of us on the sports board, we love, this is going to sound really bad. Because we know when the Packers had a rough season this year.
Yeah.
And we know our sports was on a Monday. So we always know that we're going to see some banger tweets from Luke Rosenthal during those days. So we're all talking, me and Tommy, you know, and Turge and Burrows. And we're all like, what's Rosenthal going to be tweeting about today? And then we'll be talking about some tweet you made last night where you don't think they're going to score an offensive touchdown the rest of the season.
That's one that Turge always brings up. And I'm glad I was wrong about that. But
right. But no, it was always get a joy out of hearing those types of things. So, I always say after all these lists, like, makes a lot of sense. Like, it, you know, how do I not assume that was going to be your number one?
What were you here? Did you take it?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. You're the first person to ask me that question. I took this back in a class probably in March.
Okay.
And I'll be straight up, didn't take it that serious. So I don't even know if
you
I did
just wanted
it.
To get through it. All,
yeah.
96 questions.
That's
I looked
what
at
I mean.
It was like,
I think I got it.
15 minutes, are you sure?
I got it for like a homework assignment. And that's so that's kind of funny that you asked that, because this class is kind of where, like, the origin of this podcast came from. You can take it here. It's called Thrive. It's like this mental health awareness, like how to deal with stress and stuff. This whole kind of like a mindfulness class. And that's kind of what I drew the inspiration of this podcast. And, yeah, one of the final assignments was to take this quiz, and I think it was a one credit course. It was like 6 weeks. It was nothing.
Okay.
And yeah, I think I got it, and I looked at it, and I saw 96 questions. I was like, I'll be damned if I take this thing. But it's funny how that works. So I actually don't I have to retake it eventually and actually see what mine are. But
last episode should be about Jake Bradley.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, we got a ways to go, a lot more people to interview before I take on out of here. But nah, man, I certainly got to – we got to get to know the host at some point.
Yeah.
But nah, Luke, always a pleasure, man. This is probably the best bearded podcast we've had here.
It's going to be a tough competition for best beard at a
It's
going to
be a
Stanford.
Tough one. We were up against each other last year. Did either of us win?
I think it was Brian Rudman.
Was it Brian Rudman?
I think it was Brian.
Ah, nepotism and it's fine.
Right, but exactly.
No, it's going to be a tough one to see who's going to walk out of there with the best beard.
Great competition.
Oh, my God. Yeah, great competition. So, yeah, that'll do it for another episode of the Getting to Know You podcast. Luke, just wanted to, again, say thank you.
Thank you.
One of the earliest memories I have at joining WTOP was working that first hockey game, and you, of course, were on the sideline for that. Mm-hmm. And I just remember going in there only really knowing Brian and loosely knowing Mike, but that was really it. Like, I'm going to get thrown on the perch with, like, I think it's funny looking back at it, was with Tommy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, didn't know this guy at all, didn't know the two play-by-play and color guys who were Ben Kinney and Turge.
Yeah.
So it's like just funny how things play out. But I remember, you know, going in there being really nervous, really, you know, scared, a lot of new people around me. And, you know, some people like you, you know, you mentioned the humor, trying to ease some of the tension a little bit. You know, I remember a few times you doing that, and it definitely, I know, relaxed my nerves a lot. So I appreciated that and just wanted you to know, like, when you do those things, they don't go unnoticed, especially with the new members of the club.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's I always remember that about you. And it always is a nice little spot that I'm like, yeah, I remember Luke Rosenthal from that first game.
Yeah, I think that was my first broadcast too. So I was definitely a little bit nervous.
Yeah, you didn't show it, man. I was like, this guy's a pro, man. This is crazy. Everybody around me knows what I'm doing, and I'm up here. You know, crap in my pants. But nah, man, you know, we got a few more months left. And I know just from the work that you put in, as I've seen, you know, whether that be through sports or just in general with your own brand, it's super, you know, impressive to see you do it. And I know that there's just great things that's ahead for you. So
I appreciate that.
Absolutely, my man. Absolutely. So that'll do it for another.